Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adusk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, January 6th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hey, Melody.
Oh, another exciting day in the markets. Certainly some big swings on the stock market, on the Dow, and of course, gold opened up higher and just stayed there all day long. Came off its high of the day eventually, but still very strong, up $14, so a nice day in gold. $1,220, up $14.30 for gold. Silver up 36 cents at $16.65. And we have platinum up $4 at $12.24. And we have palladium up 8 at $8.06. And the high for gold today was actually $12.24, kind of matching platinum's price right now. So interesting. And the USDX today, stronger, 0.17 at 91.59. Crude oil took another beating today, down 0.2.18 at 47.86. And of course, the markets, don't know how to take it. You had the Dow opened at 80, up 80 points at the open. At about 1 o'clock, we hit a low of about 239 points to the downside. Then it came back about 3 o'clock Eastern time, and it was just negative 63 points. And in the last hour of trade, the last half hour, the Dow dropped 130 points at 17,370. And, of course, this is their discussions and their reasoning is all based on oil fears. The NASDAQ was down 59 points at 4,592. The S&P was down 18 at 2,002. And the 10-year yield, it's an astonishing 1.96%. So it seems that you have people running to bonds as the stocks are selling off. And, of course, we saw a little bit to the upside in gold, but that's going to be a big reversal. Once people begin to realize why in the heck would they want a bond when they can have gold. But Wall Street is kind of hoping that the earnings season might pull them out of this downtrend. But if you have these multinational corporations and a strong dollar, you know, the earnings season might not be their saving grace. And certainly, again, as we talked, not a lot of discussions coming out of the last quarter. as it being a doozy. The only thing that they focus on is the employment. And, of course, we know those numbers are just fudged and lied about. So it's, you know, it doesn't seem that, you know, perhaps this trend going down, 10% correction, is it going to be a 10% correction or is it going to be something greater than 10%?
Are we talking about, you're talking about the Dow Jones?
On the markets, yes.
Well, it's going to be greater than 10% sooner or later, but is it
sooner or later
than 10% this month or next month? You know, there's the question: is it going to be greater when? But I think it's interesting. You know, how high did we go up over 18,000?
It was just a tad over 18.
That's what I thought. Yeah, there's 600 points down. Just in the last week or so on the Dow.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is that a blip or is it one of those things everybody understood? I don't say everyone ever understood, but there was a lot of sentiment. We're going to go over 18,000. Well, we did that. I'm wondering, is there any real sentiment to say, well, now we're going to 19,000? Does anyone believe that? Or have we, you know, seen the peak and therefore we're all going home to watch TV?
Well, I think we're kind of focused on the oil prices right now and what that's going to do and, you know, the kind of uncertainty that, you know, is, you know, the world is facing. There was the U.S. Steel. They're going to shut down an Ohio tubular steel plant. They're going to be laying off 750 workers at two facilities. And these two plants that make this tubular steel is used, of course, the steel is used in oil and gas drilling. Yeah. And they're going to shut down a plant in Lorain, Ohio in March. They're going to lay off 614 workers. And then they're also going to lay off 142 employees at a plant in Houston. And again, these plants make the tubes that are used in drilling for oil and gas, as well as construction. And this is a move in response to falling oil prices,
yep,
and unfair competition from foreign companies.
What is unfair? What competition? They're talking about competition for steel?
You know, I couldn't figure out why this would say unfair competition from foreign companies. Of course, it would be the stronger dollar is going to give the other foreign companies a little bit of a leg up with a stronger dollar.
Yeah. In other words, these steel tube manufacturers will not be able to sell their products to the oil drilling,
that's right,
countries other than the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Business is going down here in the United States.
Yep.
Foreign countries, they won't be able to sell it, even if production is being maintained, because the dollar's value is increasing. That means people won't pay the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It costs them more to buy the American exports.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. We are watching a certain amount of domino effect right now. You know, we've seen, yay, the price of gasoline is going down. But I've been saying from the beginning, you know, yeah, well, you wait and see. This won't be all the blessing that a lot of people had supposed. And with these domino effects, we can begin to wonder how far this is going to go. And, you know, whether we should be cheering or should we be preparing. There was an article here by Bill Holter entitled "They See It Coming." And he's got some interesting observations here. A lot of this is just kind of pieced together, but he makes a few observations that are interesting and perhaps important. Russia set up their own alternative to the SWIFT clearing system. All right. This is being tested in the last 2 weeks. The original start date was May 15th, 5 months from now. But they advanced the start date by 5 months. All right. They're going to get ready to set up their own. This is a clearing system for paying debts and being paid that will replace the existing system as an alternative to the existing system. The SWIFT, the Russians will have an alternative to the existing SWIFT system, and a couple of implications. First, the U.S. didn't have enough political capital to kick Russia out of the existing SWIFT system, as several European nations refuse to go this route. And the reason is if Russia were ejected from the SWIFT payment system, it couldn't be paid for its crude oil. Some people say, ha-ha, we'll fix you, Russia. You won't be able to get paid for your crude oil. Okay, but if Russia can't be paid for its crude oil, then it follows that Europe can't pay Russia for crude oil and natural gas. If Russia can't pay, or excuse me, if Europe can't pay Russia, Russia would not deliver the natural gas and crude oil, and Europe would freeze for the balance of this winter. My point is that the U.S. couldn't get Russia out of the SWIFT payment system without also cutting Europe off from Russian energy. In our complex, complicated globalist world, everything is so intertwined that it's increasingly difficult for anyone to manipulate the system in order to achieve one seemingly positive result. Ha-ha! We'll throw Russia out of the system without also causing a correlative negative consequence. Ha-ha! We're going to cause Europe to freeze. Huh? We can't bomb Russia economically or militarily without cutting off Europe's energy supply. Europe won't accept that consequence and will therefore defend Russia. I can't prove it, but I'm going to assume that the United States would like to sanction Russia much more than they have so far. They want to do some damage to Russia. Right? And the Europeans are defending Russia because Russia is supplying them with the energy to get through the winter. We are seeing a shift in power where the United States is no longer as relevant to Europe as Russia is. They need Russia more than they need us. And that means we can't, manipulate, motivate, whatever, to the same degree we have in the past. Secondly, maybe more importantly, SWIFT can no longer be held as a potential hammer over the head of Russia since they have an alternative. In the past, they've threatened Russia, we'll throw you out of the SWIFT system and yada yada. But right now, with the alternative, it's, no big deal. Russia can still be paid as other countries are brought into that SWIFT or into the Russian system. They're going to move away from SWIFT. As they do, the dollar becomes less and less the world reserve currency. Our attempts to sanction Russia in our complex, intertwined world may turn out to be contrary to our own interests before this is all done. Lastly, worst case scenario, the new clearing system for that Russia's creating may become very attractive and lure a majority or even a supermajority of the trade participants to abandon the West's game. This is what I was just talking about. Were this to result, the dollar would lose its usefulness and thus its de facto reserve currency status. Might not lose it, but it would be further diminished. Here's another point. This is what's really interesting. Now, Bill Holter didn't nail this down tight, but he wrote the following. He said, during the recent explosive move higher in the dollar, it rallied nearly 15% in 6 months and nearly 10% of this in just the last 2 months. On Friday of last week, the first trading day of the year, something broke somewhere. For the dollar to move nearly a full 1% higher in a single day is not only a symptom, but also a financial killer. The International Monetary Fund claims there is a $9 trillion carry trade in the dollar. Just 1% of that amount amounts to $90 billion. This implies that on Friday alone, when the dollar moved a full percent higher, somebody made $90 billion, and someone also lost $90 billion last Friday. Now, these are big moves. And the consequences, where this took place, he says something broke. He thinks something broke. somewhere. Doesn't know where. Doesn't know what broke. Doesn't know where it broke. Did it happen in Denmark? Did it happen in, who knows, any marketplace on the face of the globe among one or more nations? He thinks something extraordinary may have happened last Friday to explain the dollar going up 1%, the U.S. dollar index. He goes on, he says, lastly, it needs to be pointed out that gold was the number two currency on the planet last year, as it dropped just over 1% versus the dollar. This means gold rallied just about as hard in foreign currency terms as the dollar did. And we talked about that a little yesterday when I tried to explain the significance of the dollar, where the price of gold was only down 2%, or nearly 2%, over the course of 2014. And how to look at that in the context of an episode of deflation. It's actually evidence the dollar, or excuse me, gold, even though the price dropped slightly, it actually has more purchasing power today than it had at the first of the year. Right, first of last year. And he's touching on that same concept down here. He says, look, gold rallied just about as hard in foreign currency terms as the dollar did. Second best currency. All the other currencies went down. Dollar and gold were the only two to go up. Looking at volatility, moves in the dollar, oil, and many stock and bond markets leads Mr. Holter to believe there are huge margin calls and unfunded positions behind the scenes. He thinks something big has happened. Something broke. He says something broke on Friday. Now, I don't know that that's absolutely true, and neither does he. He admits this. He doesn't know where, he doesn't know what it was, but something had to explain a 1% move in the value of the dollar and the U.S. dollar index. Something had to explain that. He says some very strange events have taken place. He gives an example dealing with Spanish bonds. I won't get into it. The dollar move on Forex, the foreign exchange markets these past weeks, tells him two things. Either something blew up or the move itself blew someone up. In other words, either something unintended happened in the foreign currency markets, and something blew up, and now we've got casualties. They're hidden, but they're there. Or the system intentionally caused the dollar to rise dramatically, and in doing so, caused some great damage to someone, maybe intentionally, maybe by accident. But he thinks something strange is going on, something important. He says the action we've witnessed is not normal and certainly not sustainable, because of the derivative losses created. Got all those derivatives still sitting out there. He thinks that Russia and China are working together because they are getting ready for what they expect to be a crash in the derivatives. He thinks China is preparing the yuan to ascend to reserve currency status, while Russia is preparing the clearing infrastructure mechanism. In other words, he's talking about Russia is setting up this alternative payment system, an alternative to SWIFT. And he thinks Russia and China wants the yuan to become the new world reserve currency, and Russia is going to operate the clearing infrastructure mechanism, the new alternative payment system, and he implies that he expects this new alternative payment system to run primarily on yuan. Now, these are guesses and speculation, but what rings my bell particularly is the idea something big happened last Friday that we don't understand yet. But he thinks maybe that's what's going on. As for the West, bail-ins have been legislated into law over the past year for a reason. And in fact, bail-ins, the right of banks to simply take money, if they're in a bind, they can take their depositors' money. I've seen other reports that indicate virtually every Western nation has enacted legislation in the past year to allow for bail-ins. And as near as I know, that includes the United States. Which means if your bank gets into a bind, the government's not going to print a bunch of money to get it out. They're just going to allow the bank to take your funds out of your bank account and use it to save the bank. Right? bail-ins, not bailouts. They're not going to be bailed out by the Federal Reserve if we have another problem. They're going to be bailed in by the depositors, which is, you look at that and you think to yourself, do I really want to save my money in a bank? Or do I want to save it in the backyard? Do I want something tangible I can hold on to? Or do I want to trust the financial system to protect me? We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addis. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue. We sold a boatload of those Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces. You listeners, you know what a good deal is. We're going to continue the Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold piece. We're going to continue the $83 over a bullion gold coin for the price. So we've seen almost a $30 move in gold, but I'm going to increase this only by $20. So the price for a Mint State 61 $20 gold piece will be $1,371. So it's still a great, great buy. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at DGScoins.com. That's DGS for Discount Gold, Silver, coins, COINF.com. You can listen to our radio program there. It's archived on a daily basis, and you can listen to it live there also. And, of course, the newsletter that comes out weekly, American Survival. So make sure you sign up for that. So, and it is only by email. We don't do hard copies. We don't mail them out at this point. If we had enough requests, you know, perhaps we could change that. But at this point in time, you know, Al, you were talking about, you know, the big increase in the dollar. It's unusual, and it is unusual. And but certainly we're talking about Russia. But, you know, the sanctions against Russia, it's also killing these large European companies. And so it's funny that these sanctions are striking back at those who are placing the sanctions on Russia. And it is cutting both ways. And there's some EU divisions that are trying to make these sanctions overturn these sanctions. You have France, Germany, along with Russia and Ukraine, and they're trying to set up talks in Astana, Kazakhstan, to ease the tensions behind these sanctions that have sent the ruble sinking, and it also affected corporate Europe. And heavens forbid, if you affect any corporate bank or oil company, food giants, of course they're going to, you know, want to change things so they're not hurt anymore. So, but it's very difficult. The European rules complicate any attempt to modify the sanctions put into place. And in order, a unanimous decision by the all 28 European nations is needed to change the sanctions. And so, hey, if you get all 28 EU nations to come together, they don't need the U.S. They'll change the sanctions. So it's killing Europe. And I think that's what's broke. I mean, if you look at the euro is below 120. It's almost 1.19. It was 1.18. I mean, that's what dropped out of the sky the same time the dollar went up. If you look at a corresponding effect to the rise in the dollar, it was the drop in the euro. And that's major. I mean, we had the euro at almost at 1.40. I mean, it was like 1.38, 1.39. Now it's 1.18. So huge, huge hit on the euro.
But again, we've had the Federal Reserve and our government telling us that what this country needs is more inflation, more inflation, more inflation to stimulate the economy. It's been their fundamental objective since 2008 is to create more inflation up until just recently, six months or so the last year. How hard is the euro hit? They want inflation. They want to go off and start printing their own money or printing their own currency, excess sums of the euro. They want to do that in order to stimulate inflation. If we're causing inflation, in theory, that's supposed to stimulate their economy. And yet people are saying, oh, my gosh, we have a problem. Same thing with Russia. We've caused inflation. If inflation is suddenly bad for Russia, if it's suddenly bad for Europe, why was it ever a good idea for us?
I think anymore we have so much inflation in our, you know, that has become so a part of our, I mean, what inflation number do we have to have? Do we have to have 63% like Venezuela?
No.
Do we have to have, I mean,
I don't know that we have to have any. I mean, one of the points about inflation and deflation, they're both consequences of a fiat currency.
Correct.
Right, and what they necessarily mean is someone is being robbed. You go into inflation, the borrowers are entitled to rob the creditors because they get to pay off in cheaper dollars. You go into deflation, and in theory, the creditors get to rob the borrowers because the borrowers have to pay off with more expensive dollars. Now, the problem is that even in deflation, however, the borrowers can't or won't pay off in more expensive dollars, and they'll default on their loans. So again, the real point to both inflation and deflation is that they both rob creditors. Inflation robs creditors by making the dollar worth less. You borrow $100,000, you pay back the equivalent of $80,000 in. You pay back $100,000, but it's only got $80,000 in purchasing power. Inflation robs the creditors. Deflation, in theory, would make the creditors wealthier at the expense of the borrowers, but the borrowers default on their loans. And now the creditors are again, they again take a beating because nobody's, not no one, but there's a significant proportion of the population that is not paying off their loans. And again, the creditors lose. And the real implication is that, of this is that the fiat currency will be used to rob creditors. And when people hear the word creditors, they think, well, bankers, nobody cares if we rob the bankers. What we mean by creditors, ultimately, are people who are actually productive, not consumers. Consumers are borrowers. We're talking about the productive element of society that gets out and works, and they grow food, for example, and they grow more than they eat themselves, and therefore they sell some on the market to help feed you and me. These are producers. More. If they are producers and they live within their means, they're not out there trying to shop till they drop. If they earn $100,000 a year, they try to save $10,000, $20,000, maybe more. When they save money from that they have produced, wealth that they've produced, when they save it, they're the ones that make money available or currency available to the consumers to borrow. If we wipe out the creditors, the productive element of society, then the whole nation becomes less productive. That can't be good. They're the ones that are laying little golden eggs that we use that are ultimately picked up in a little Easter basket or whatever, and they are made available to the banks, and the banks lend them to us. But virtually everyone who has a productive job, you're a producer. All right? I won't say that's true of people who work for the government. You're not producing anything, but the rest of us are pretty much producing something. Right, I don't regard government regulations as a productive product, a product of, you know, a productive capacity. The point to all of this is that inflation and deflation are similarly immoral, and both of them are made possible by a fiat currency, and they are both morally different from a monetary system that's based on physical gold. If you borrow 1,000 ounces of gold to build a factory or whatever it is you want to do with it, I don't know, or about a house, whatever it is you're going to do with it, an expensive house, a small factory, a small business, whatever, you borrow 1,000 ounces of gold, you repay 1,000 ounces of gold. Right? There's no BS about, well, it's become more expensive or more valuable or cheaper ounces of gold or more expensive. None of that. That's all part of the fiat currency. There is some variation in the price of gold over time. I get that. But basically, it holds its value. And it is a far more moral monetary system than we have right now. No one has to be robbed. If we're paying our bills and being paid in gold or silver, nobody has to be robbed. With fiat currency, somebody's going to be robbed. Bet on it. Maybe the creditors, maybe the borrowers, but somebody's got to be robbed to make fiat currency work. For me, this understanding makes clear that a nation is damaged by a fiat currency in a way that people don't understand and don't anticipate, or maybe they did anticipate the people who put it in, but we become an immoral people. If we're borrowers, we're in favor of inflation because we get to pay off our debts with cheaper dollars, which means we get to rob the creditors. If we go into deflation and people keep paying their bills, if they can, but if it doesn't increase the rate of bankruptcy and default, then the creditors get to rob the borrowers. All by itself, these opportunities to rob other people twists our minds and doesn't do us any good. We wind up with a Congress that's for sale to the highest bidder. And it's all about the money. It's not about what's good for the nation. It's not about what's good for the people. It's about more money, more money, more money. A fiat currency hurts us in ways that aren't just monetary, not just financial. They hurt us morally. It hurts us morally, in my opinion. And for that reason, if it's one of the reasons why you sit back and say, hey, you got to get away from this crazy stuff. This paper is dangerous. And when it comes time to dig out of the hole that we're digging for ourselves, and the 70% of the country who are consumers, and they are the ones that provide for this economy because they consume things, they are going to be much shocked and surprised when it turns out somebody's going to say, well, if you want to eat, you got to go out and earn it. Huh. And they're going to say, earn it? What do you mean, work? Are you talking about working? We're just consumers. We never signed up on this thing to actually work. We're coming to a time when that's going to happen. Coming to a time when people on welfare and people on government subsidies and pensions, and they're going to discover that if they want to eat, they're going to have to actually grow some food. And if they don't know how or don't have the resources to do so, they are going to pay a serious price. They are going to suffer enormous shock, rob their neighbors. I don't know where it's all going to wind up, but it's part of this moral idea. If you want to eat, you got to grow some food. I don't mean that everyone has to be a farmer, but you've got to do something productive. You can't just show up and say, I'm here. I've got a check from the government. I'd like to spend it on some ho-hos and some, you know, Ripple. You're going to have to find a check from a productive source. The whole consumer economy is in jeopardy, and we've been put there by this fiat currency, and we aren't going to get out of this painlessly.
No, we're not. And you know what? I saw an interesting, going back to Russia, and then we can talk a little bit about John Boehner today. Here you have a couple that took out a mortgage on a two-room apartment 7 years ago. And this is in Russia, in St. Petersburg. And now, like thousands of other Russians, and, you know, same thing's going to happen here. Except with a little bit of a difference. They're beginning to see their dream unravel as they can't make the payments. They're working longer hours, and they're working second jobs. And that's because a large part of the minority of Russians took out mortgages that were denominated in a foreign currency.
Dollars.
To take, well, this one, no, this one was actually in Swiss francs.
Okay.
But they took these mortgages out, denominated in foreign currencies, to take advantage of the lower rates that abroad. And now that the currency is collapsing, the cost of repaying these mortgages have gone through the roof.
Yep.
And they gathered in November, this couple gathered their entire monthly salary and that of her husband and took it to the bank. And the sum was still not enough to cover the new monthly payment. So I found that interesting.
Yeah, that's real interesting. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, lots of things happened.
They trusted in foreign currencies. They didn't trust the ruble. They did trust in foreign currencies, but they trusted ultimately in fiat currencies.
They did, but it also goes to show you that, you know, things are very expensive out there. And in order to get a small two-room apartment in St. Petersburg, they had to do that in order to afford it. So it's similar to here. People did all kinds of things here in order to afford a home that they wanted. And they ended up paying the price trying to go after a mortgage that eventually they couldn't afford. And they're not prepared for any bad situations that come their way.
So what do you think they're going to do?
So we're going to go to break.
Oh, is that what we're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good prediction. They've got the break coming at the same time Melody predicted we were going to have the break. Mm-hmm. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival. Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival, Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Remember, folks, Mint State 61, $20 Liberty gold pieces, $1,370, just $83 over what a bullion gold eagle would cost. So for the small spread, it's a great opportunity to pick up some Mint State 61, $20 gold pieces. If you don't have any, it's great to add to your portfolio. And if you already have them, is a great way to accumulate even more. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. And I thought perhaps the new Republicans would have the opportunity to eliminate Boehner to replace them. And they couldn't do it, Al. They didn't do it. And so it just goes to show you, it really is the same old thing. Same old, same old.
I understand. It at least suggests that there's forces at work that are behind the scenes, and Boehner's part of the problem in the same way that the Clintons are part of the problem. He's a made man, essentially, and he's part of the New World Order, and they're going to keep him there the same way they're going to keep Obama there. And not necessarily for the benefit of the American people.
There were 24 Republicans that voted against the speaker. And so it's
they can now go home because they're never going to get any legislation passed. That's the last lobbyist dollar you're going to see.
I know. And, you know, we talked about the Boehner and McConnell, they already set in motion, you know, this process to vote on the Keystone Pipeline and, you know, thinking that this is going to be a job creator. Haven't they been reading the news about oil dropping into the 40s? And again, haven't they read that Obama has already came out and said that he's not going to sign it? So, again, they're just wasting their time. Of course, they don't have anything else to do, but they're just wasting their time. And, you know, Keystone is supposedly the first thing on their agenda. And, you know, it's just
what should be first on the agenda for the American people? What should be first on the agenda for the American people, Melody?
Well, what do you think it should be?
I don't know. One thing they might do. You know what I'd like to see? I don't know that it would make a serious difference economically in this country, but I'd like to see people in Washington who actually thought they had to obey the law. I'd like to see a president who said, listen, we're going to seal the borders and we're not taking any more illegal aliens. And we're not going to try to cover it up by saying, oh, they're undocumented workers. No, they're illegal aliens. They don't need guns to invade this country because we don't bother to defend it. But the fact is they are illegal. And yet we have a government that says, oh, that's okay. That's not a problem. I'd like to see them do something in Washington where the politicians themselves actually had to obey the laws. I don't expect to see it, but I think it'd be a good thing. What else could we do that's good for this country? We might do something. How about an actual inventory of how much gold we have at Fort Knox and in the United States Treasury? That's not that big a project. Let's do the inventory and restore public confidence in the government, assuming they still have the gold. They claim to have the gold. Let's find out if they really have the gold. You know, it is about confidence to this degree, at least to some degree. We've got a government that won't enforce the law. Let's enforce the law. On illegal aliens. It would restore confidence for the American people. How about we stop meddling with everybody's problems overseas and feeling it's our obligation to kiss everybody's boo-boos? Fall down and skin your knee. Obama's got to kiss your little knee. No, he doesn't. A lot of this stuff is just part of life, you know. What are we going to do about Obamacare? It's certain that we can't really afford it. It's not really helping us. They'll continue it. They will not voluntarily give it up. I don't know. Somebody ought to actually start obeying the law. Someone ought to start fulfilling their promises. There's a new website that I haven't seen, but I've heard about, where they are tracking politicians' promises. They're telling them, here's what they promised.
That's not right? Hard.
During the election, they said, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and here's what they've done. And I just heard about it last night on another talk radio program, and I don't remember the name, but it's got something to do with promises. It's a conservative website, supposedly, and it's promises is part of the name, and I can't recall, but I think it's a great thing. It's going to create a coherent source of information about who is actually living up to their promise. A promise, a promise, promise. I mean, this is like a seduction. It's not an election. It's a seduction. Do you really love me? Oh, yeah, 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 sure. That's what the politicians, they assure us all that they love us. But the truth of the matter is, they just say that to get elected. And what they love is the money. All right? And if you don't have any money for them, go away. They don't need to hear from you except around election times, and that's when they lie to you and seduce you, and then they go on and hustle money for the balance for the next 2 years that they're in office, for the next 6 years if they're in the Senate or whatever. This country needs a boost in morality. Needs somebody to set an example. Not, you know, like Obama. Does anyone really think that man has any morality that should be worthy of respect? Does anyone think the man is motivated by a system of morality that should inspire our support? Or is he just another grinning con artist? That's what I think the country needs. We need somebody up there in office who actually does what's right. Not there to, you know, if you want to get along, you got to go along. No. Get up there, set your heels. This is wrong. I'm not doing it. That's all. If we had more of that, perhaps this country would make some sort of a recovery.
And if you look at the names that are being tossed around for 2016, it just kind of makes you want to... That's just really amazing. I mean, again, it's the same ones. Chris Christie, you know, Jeb Bush,
Do we really need a third Bush in the White House?
No, and it's just like this is the biggest thing since, you know, this is it. You know, yeah, and it's the same ones. There's another guy. You know, he had the he was the preacher. He had his Fox News program, Huckabee.
Huckabee.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what's wrong with these Yeah.
Well, at least Huckabee doesn't have any. His daddy wasn't president. His grandfather wasn't president. So I don't know. I don't necessarily know that Huckabee is such a bad idea. But Jeb Bush, I don't want another Bush in the White House.
Names.
I understand that.
Same people over and over again.
And what does that mean? It means they are insiders. It means they're connected. It means they are going to fight to maintain the existing system, which has pretty much fouled this country up in ways it won't be easily corrected.
And since Ron Paul left, I mean, you don't see any more, you don't hear any more questions, debate against these politicians, against, you know, Janet Yellen. I mean, it's just they just sit there and they just go along with everything. I mean, Ron Paul was the only one who questioned and argued with these people. And everybody else just goes right along with the program. It's really...
It's just another example of the system has been captured by people who operate the government and operate this economy for the benefit of special interests rather than for the benefit of the general welfare, which is a term they use in the preamble of the Constitution. They're not working for the general welfare. And there's absolute evidence of that, and that is the middle class has been badly diminished. If they're working for the general welfare, they'd be working people on Main Street would be doing well rather than Wall Street. If they were working for the general interest of the American people, the middle class would be growing rather than shrinking. And all of this, you lose that middle class, this is part and parcel of this inequality of income between the rich, the super rich, and the majority of the American people. But are sliding more toward the lower, what we might call the lower middle class. It's like two ends of a barbell. You know? It's big at the top and it's big at the bottom, but there's not that much in between. If you want a stable economy, got to have a big middle class, got to have a strong middle class. And they're saying, to heck with that, the middle class are the people government likes to rob. And so the middle class is diminishing. Which is, again, evidence. Government is not here for the general welfare of the American people. Something's got to be done about that, and it's got to be addressed. And I don't think it's going to be addressed by either the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. And, again, I'm inclined to believe what this country really needs is a viable third party.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that's crazy talk, couldn't possibly happen. In fact, it's not that hard. In most presidential elections, you only get 45% or thereabouts of the people to vote. And half the country doesn't even vote in presidential elections. In a two-party election, you need 22-23%. That's all you need. 25% is plenty to win. The support of 25% of the eligible voters is more than enough to win the presidency in a two-party election. But if you get a three-party election and we still have only 50% of the public voting, you can win with as little as maybe 14%. Huh? You're talking about one man or woman in seven is all it takes in a close election. You could win with as little as one in seven. And I guarantee that seventh is out here who, if they knew what was going on and would be willing to vote, not because they don't want to waste their vote, which is one of the dumbest ideas you can get into. So I'm going to vote for George Bush or Jeb Bush because I don't want to waste my vote on some third party that can't win. Well, you just keep on voting for the Democrats and the Republicans and watch how it all turns out. You're going to have to waste your vote this year, perhaps, in order to set the stage for the next election 2 years later. And I don't even use the term. I'm using the word wait or waste. I'm using the word waste and waste your vote. I'm using that, you know, sarcastically. politics isn't, you know, it's not an event. It's a process. This year sets the stage for next year and the year after that and the year after that. And if you won't make the effort now when you might not win, you are never going to win. You know? So it would be another third party, viable third party. Not that hard. We need a seventh of the people to actively support. One man, one woman in seven. And I'll guarantee you, they're out there. We probably have one in three, if not one in two, who really support the ideas that are being, you know, espoused by people like myself and Melody and programs like this one. We don't need a majority. The way the system is functioning, the fact that half the people don't bother to vote. We need a seventh, an eighth. In a close three-party election, a seventh, a sixth, or a seventh somewhere in that. If you get 20%, you could sweep this whole country. 20% is enough in a if a third party was put together. We need this active support of 20% of the American people take this whole country back. Point behind this: it's all possible. We are not helpless pawns unless we care to see ourselves as such. We can do this. This is doable. Hasn't been done yet, but and certainly there'd be forces, active forces, and wealthy forces that would work against the creation of a viable third party. But just because there would be adversaries doesn't mean can't be done. And from my perspective, it would be a great blessing if it were. So what else, Melody? Do you have a suggestion of what third party trials for treason? What do you think?
I mean, it is possible. It just seems like these folks just. I mean, you had look at Ross Perot. I mean, there's no one that inspires people anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe they can, but with that mainstream media, it makes it a little more difficult for them. It's certainly more difficult to inspire people by radio. It's so much, you know, it's better if they can be seen like the way by way of television, but certainly it can be done. It's just you have to find the right person that can inspire this excitement.
There's one other side. We're going to run out of time here, and I don't want Frank to start playing the piano because he gets mad when he has to play the piano suddenly. But in any case, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We want to thank you, as always, for listening to the program. Hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money, always funny in a